The Grind.
It's The Grind
with Nathan McCray.
There's just no way you can get enough of me. Yo, mister.
Giving real insight needed daily. Call 657-383-1291. That's 657-383-1291. It's blogtalkradio.com, The Grind 101. Join your host, Nathan McCray, 8 a.m. Eastern, every Tuesday through Thursday, for an unscripted conversation. It's The Grind, 657-383-1291.
All right, great morning, everybody. Welcome to The Grind. Everybody, it's an awesome, awesome Tuesday morning, and we are up and ready to go. You know, hopefully everybody is out of the bed already. Some of you that are fortunate, you're probably laying in the bed still, you know, doing absolutely nothing. But we want to talk a little bit about the danger of just that right now. Some of you are like, you know what, let me get up out of this bed. Some of you are like, I don't care. But you know what? Thank you for dialing into The Grind this morning. Everybody, you could have been doing anything in the world that you wanted to do, but you chose to dial in live to The Grind, you know, and listen to me. And guys, I don't take that lightly. It's an absolute honor. So I definitely want to be able to give you guys something today. But, you know, first of all, I want us to just sit back and I want us to listen to, you know, this song because, you know, there's a time in your life that comes and you realize that, you know what, I got to really move forward. I got to step out and do something, and I got to punch fear in the face, you know. But you got to realize that you have to make that first step. Yeah, God got you. God got you. But you got to, first of all, make that first step. Then you can confidently sit back and say, you know what, God, you really do got me. Because he said, if you take one step, I'll take two steps. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen.
Get out
of here. Taking that step.
Hey, ready? It's the new swag, baby.
Woke up this morning and I told myself, not gonna worry about what I cannot help. People dying innocently, hate is spreading rapidly. I'm not talking apathy, but some things God's gotta
work.
Whoa. He's gotta
work.
Yeah. Check it out.
Oh,
what I read. I'm telling you what I know. God's got it.
I ain't telling you what I read. I'm telling you what I know. God's got it. God's got it. But we got to get it first. We got to do our part and step out and take that first step, right? But God's got it. He's got it. So look, here's what I want to talk about this morning because, you know, I've been thinking long and hard, you know, about this. And, you know, this is the realest show ever. We do have unscripted conversation on this show, you know, so no holds barred except for, you know, what we do, but we do it tastefully. So, you know, everybody needs a little tough love every now and then. And guess what? I raise my hand. I'll be the person to give that tough love because, you know what, I would much rather you come to me later and say, you know what, thank you for being hard on me. You know, thank you for that because, you know, I didn't know what I needed at the time. So you stepped in and you bridged that gap. You took the brunt of that blow for me. You took me telling you that, you know what, I don't like you. I don't like you. You know, but now you realize why you didn't like me at the time because you didn't understand the thing, what you were trying to get to. You know, you hadn't grown, you know, fast enough or far enough to get to that point. And I was there to bridge that gap for you and help you do it. We all need that person in our life, right? You know, one thing that we don't need in our life that we should absolutely hate is average, right? Is average. We should hate average, man. We should hate it so bad. We should have such a disdain for average that we just can't. We don't want to be around it. So you look at what's going on right now. Some of you, you know, your kids have already went back to school. You know, I know here in South Florida, you know, and where I live, you know, kids just went back to school yesterday. So this is the second day of school. So we had a slightly longer, you know, I won't say longer, but, you know, summer vacation started a little later for us. So we had a little later, you know, a little later school start. But nonetheless, you know, kids just went back to school yesterday. Now, some of you, you know, you parents that, you know, maybe you stay at home moms or, you know, whoever you are, you know, you may be going back home right now or back home and you say, you know, I'm going to get into bed and get me some more sleep. You said, I'm going to go back to sleep so I can close my eyes and I can chase my dreams. Because that's one way to chase your dreams, right? You know, keep chasing them while you're sleeping and you'll just be a dream chaser, right? Now, there's a physical aspect to that as well because there's some of you that go back home and say, you know what, let me get my stuff together, let me get myself together, and let me go out here and really chase my dreams. Let me put one foot in front of the other physically instead of mentally, you know, in my dreams. Let me actually go out here and chase my dreams. So, you know, if you're one of those two people, then, you know, hopefully you're the latter and you're actually getting them going out and chasing your dreams. And some of you are saying, well, you know, I had a long night last night, so I need a little more rest, you know, yada, yada, yada. Okay, I get it. You know, this is, you know, that's practical, you know, but just don't get comfortable in it, right? So, What are the people that we look at, you know, every single day and we think that, man, that's crazy. I can't do that. You know, and I used to be the person that looked at, I used to call them thrill seekers, but, you know, they're really, you know, extreme people or like people that do extreme sports and things of that nature. Extreme sports, the extreme thrill seekers and the extreme people that just, you know, the people that are always out doing probably the stuff that nobody else really wants to do that we call the average person. You know, the average person doesn't want to go out and do the what we call the crazy stuff. Now, that used to be me. I'd be like, that's crazy. People are crazy. They may be some of the stuff that they do, there's a little bit, you know, the elevator may not go all the way up to the floor. It may be a little gap there. But, you know, for the most part, they can always climb out, right? They can always climb out. But what about the people that to not be average? I mean, what about those people? I used to think they were crazy. I really did. Until I realized that they just had a healthy, you know, hate for average. They didn't want to be average. You know, It was a disease as far as they're concerned, right? They just didn't want to be average. You know, I hate when people call me back to back. You know, this is the realest show ever, and I love it. But maybe they're trying to get in touch with me for something. No. So, anyway. So what about those extreme people? The extreme people that we're looking at actually. Okay. So anyway, what about the people that are extreme and they're doing stuff that we'll never do? You know, so when we look at these people, hold on. Sorry about that. Somebody's calling me back to back. So it happens to be my son's teacher, so I needed to take that call. So, you know, thank you. This is the realest show ever, man. Thank you guys for being, you know, for understanding. But you know what? Life happens. But I want to get back into talking about the thrill seekers and the people that we call the extremists, the people that do the things that they want to do because they have such a disdain of being average. And they don't want to be average, and they're even willing to risk their lives to not be average. Now, that's powerful. That's powerful because you have somebody, you're just not willing to risk money. It's not just money that you're risking. You know, you're not saying that I'm going to risk the fact that I may miss, you know, the chance to go here, or I may miss, you know, being able to see somebody if I do this or that. No, these people are risking their lives because they don't want to catch that disease called average. And they know that the only way that they can keep up their inoculations is by not doing average stuff. So when we see them, you know, these are the people that we see, you know, hiking up and down mountains. You know, these are the people that we see, you know, out in the wild doing certain things. Yeah, some of the stuff is crazy. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of the stuff, like I never need to get, you know, I need to know how it feels to sit next to a panda bear. You know, I never need to take a picture next to the gorilla cage while the gorilla's standing there. You know, I never need to really understand what it feels like to swim with sharks. You know, cage or no cage, I just never need to understand that feeling. But there are people in the world that hate average so much they're willing to go to the extreme. And I believe that it's something that burns inside of them that causes them to do what they do and to risk life and limb. And if they're risking that to be above average, then what is it that we're risking on a day-to-day basis? Because what we're doing pales in comparison to what we risk, pales in comparison to what they're risking, actual life and limb. But what is that thing that drives them to be above average? Because when you look at people in the world, it's like you walk around and everybody's zombies. Everybody gets up and they do the same thing every single day. There is no spontaneity. Nobody's saying, you know what, let me go to the beach today. You know what, let me go down here and let me pack my stuff up and let me go out and let me talk to people about this or let me do that. It's something different because there is no progress inside of the comfort zone. And when we fully understand where the magic happens or where the progress happens, then it's easy for us to say, oh, man, okay, I have to do something different because nothing's going to change in my life unless I do something different. So we've always heard people tell us, get up and do something different. Well, maybe it's just me. I've always heard, you know, the people that coach me and the people, you know, that I was raised with, they tell me, you know, get up and do something different. Every day, do something that takes you out of your comfort zone. And there are people that, when their eyes open every morning, they're asking themselves, what is it that I can do today to take me out of my comfort zone? That may be something that you do at work. That may be something that you do, you know, on the way to work. You may do something completely different. That may be something, you know, that you do in the evening when you get home. You decide, you know what, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to stop over here, you know, at the homeless shelter, and I'm gonna bless people, you know, with some clothes, or I'm gonna, you know, go to the retirement home, and I'm gonna read to somebody, or it could be something as different as that, or it could be something like extremists do. So it's just a matter of how much how much change are you seeking? Do you need to actually, you know, seek the thrill of swimming with sharks in order to get your change? No, that's what they want to do. Nobody's telling you that you got to go and jump in a cage and swim with sharks and say, I did something challenging today. I did something different. If that's what you want to do, do it. But that's not what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is something that actually is going to help me progress, because the progression only comes outside of the comfort zone. And some of us, you know, we every single day we get up and we never really step outside of the box. You know, we tidy it up in there and we make it look neat, and we're comfortable being in the box. You know, and we're wondering why everything in the world is passing us by, and everything is happening to everybody around us except for us. And we don't have to any longer, because the reason everybody is passing you by and everything's happening to everybody else is because you're stuck in a time warp. You're doing the same thing that you did yesterday and last week and last month. You're not doing anything different in order to change. So if you know that the progress happens on the outside of the box, then the first thing you should look to do in the morning is step outside that box, because each day has its own separate box. So you got to step outside of each day. Let yesterday take care of yesterday. What about today? Because what you do today is going to define your tomorrow. And if you're looking forward to your tomorrow and you're not stuck in yesterday, then that's how you move forward, because you're not looking backwards, right? You're not looking backwards. You're moving forward. So all of the forward thinkers, all of my progressive people, all of my people that have had, you know, the same, you know, I've been on the same job for, you know, for 20 years. I'm not knocking that. Hey, man, that's commitment. That's consistency, you know. But have you been getting raises on that job for the last 20 years? Have you been progressing inside of that job for the last 20 years? Are you moving? Are you climbing the ladder? Or are you that person with the same skill set that hasn't increased anything, and you're comfortable where you are? You found your niche, but you're not getting rich. This is my niche, but this is my niche that keeps me comfortable. This is my niche that moves me forward. But it's easy to get in that little groove. It's easy because it's smooth. You've worn it out exactly the way you want it to be. And, you know, it's like that favorite pair of underwear, that favorite pair of jeans that we have. You know, you're like, I love this pair of jeans because they fit so great. You know, I love them. They feel great when I put them on, and we wear them so much that they get worn out. And you know, today you can't tell if jeans are worn out or if they were made that way. You know, because I see people wearing jeans, and I look at them sometimes, thank God this is real or so ever, because I swear that for the life of me, I can't understand why you would put on a pair of jeans and not just torn a little bit. I get the little raggedy thing, okay? I get that. But I'm talking about now we've gotten to the point where I see jeans that you all the thighs are out, and the legs, it's like the jeans look like the old Incredible Hulk movie. Everything is shredded up and torn up, and you may as well just put some shorts on, because you can see your whole leg. But I guess that's it. I haven't evolved to that point yet. It's not me. To each his own, you know. And maybe it's a fashion faux pas, as they say. So I'm not going to judge anybody, but, you know, my opinion counts, and my opinion matters, because my perception is my reality. And in my world, I would never look at those jeans and say, I want to put those on. But we get comfortable doing the same old thing. But, you know, one thing that I can admire about people that do different things is that they're willing to step out and they're willing to take that risk. Sometimes the risk may be, you know, a little bit extreme, and not everybody's going to understand it. But that's the same person that'll say, you know, well, I'm not concerned about what people think about me. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. If you weren't concerned about what people thought about you, then you wouldn't do what you do. See, we can say secretly we are concerned, or subconsciously we're concerned, but the reality is you are. You are concerned about what people think. Let's just get that out in the open, all right? It sounds beastly. It sounds boss to say, I'm not concerned about what you think. But you don't live your life in fear of what people think. And I get that part. But if we weren't concerned about what other people thought about what we do, the right people, we weren't concerned about what the right people thought about what we do, then we would just get up every morning and we would wake up, we wouldn't brush our teeth, we wouldn't comb our hair. We would just roll out of bed and we would go to work and, you know, funky and stank, it just wouldn't matter. But we don't do that. We get up and we put on clothes and you know, we say, well, you know what, I dress up because I want to look nice. Hey, everybody want to look nice. What do you want to look nice for? Yourself? If you were the only person on this earth and there was nobody on but you, would you get up and would you dress up every day? Would you put on clothes every day? If you're telling me that the answer to that is yes, then I'm going to tell you right now that you're kidding yourself, because I'm going to tell you right now I wouldn't. If I was the only person on this earth with nobody else, you know, I'm not concerned about about putting on this or looking a certain kind of way. It's just me. So let's just dispel that myth right now. So, you know, the average person is just going to do the average thing. The risk taker is going to be the person that's willing to get up, go out, step outside the box, and do something different. Now, some of us aren't willing to be risk takers in life because we don't know, you know, we can't see on the other side. You know, we don't know what's over there, so we're not willing to take the risk. You know, I heard, I can't remember his name. His name escapes me right now. But Les Brown. Les Brown said one day, you know, a guy woke up. They gave the guy two doors. They said through this door is a firing squad, you know, and this firing squad of 100 men and guaranteed to get hit. Okay, this door over here. Is we don't know what's in it. All we know is that there are some unknown troubles over here. All right? So because they don't know what's over here, they know what's over here, they take the firing squad. They walk through that door because it's certain. They at least know that they're going to die over here. They don't know how or if they're going to die over here, but it's the unknown that people are afraid of. So that fear of the unknown is typically what keeps us average, because the above average, the risk takers, those are the people that get on. You know, when you listen to The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale, you know, and you know, you say, you know, why aren't people progressing? Why, you know, do man do what they do? You know, because it'll tell you, man just doesn't think, and it's not rocket science. It really isn't. When you want to grow, then you got to do something different. But we get so comfortable being where we are. It can be as simple as, you know what, which side of the bed that you sleep on. You know, it could be, you know, if you brush your teeth in this bathroom this morning, you know, mix it up. Go brush your teeth in the guest bathroom or something. It can be something as simple as that can move you, that can shift your thinking and cause you to do something different. And now all of a sudden you notice the things around you, you say, wow, things are slowing down. Okay, now I can see. No, they're not slowing down. You're speeding up. Because one thing that's constant in life, and that constant thing is always change. And change happens with or without you. I used to always tell my mom, and I said, Mama, I love you. I love you, but you got to get out of this time warp. You know, because we get set in our ways, and, you know, my mama's, you know, she finally came out of it, but she was just hell-bent on writing checks everywhere she went. I'm going to write a check. I don't want nobody to get my information. You know, I'm getting nobody in my car with my number on it, you know, to my bank account. I'm not doing that. I'm like, well, Mama, they got your stuff anyway. I mean, when you write the check, what do you think's at the bottom of the check? It's the routing number and the account number. If they really want it, they can get it. So she stopped writing checks, you know, and you know how crazy that is now, because if you stand in line behind somebody and they're writing a check, you're like, what in the world is going on? Did you just wake up, Rip Van Winkle? You're a little upset. Now, I'm telling you guys that because I've done it. I've been that person standing in line, you know, like, is she writing a check? The world is passing people by, and they're not willing to speed up because it feels good to stay where you are until where you are no longer feels good. And now you got to run faster to try to catch up. Now you can remember when you used to write a check. Thank God this is the realest show ever. All right. Remember you can write a check and you say you write that check on Wednesday, and you know that it's going to take a couple of days for that check to clear. You have no money in the bank, but you write that check, you get what you game in there for, and you know that, okay, I get paid on Friday, so that check is going to – it will clear on Friday. Man, technology is a beast. You can give them the check now if you want. They're going to run it through this thing, and they're going to hand you the check back. The money's going out of your account. And you're sitting there like, oh, my gosh. Well, they're going to tell you, no, ma'am, this check's no good. Boom, take this back. You're like, how do you know? I mean, I know I got money in the bank. You swear I'm down. You got money in the bank. You know you don't. But you tried to write a check. Now, if you didn't keep up with technology, you don't have to be, you know, the most technology-savvy person in the world, but you do have to know the basics. So the risk takers are willing to move, not with the crowd, but the risk takers, the above average, the people that want to be great are willing to move faster than the crowd, right? They're not waiting around for people to tell them, hey, you got to wake up today. You know, they're not telling, you know, they're not sitting around waiting for somebody to tell them, hey, you know what, you know, go ahead and dive in over there and you may see something. No, they just do it. Anybody have that friend that, you know, when somebody says, hey, do we have anybody in the audience that wants to come up and do this? That person always raises their hand. And you're like, dang, every time you raise your hand, it's like, what is it? That person don't want to be average. Somebody, when somebody asks, you know, anybody want to volunteer, you know, to try to, yeah, I want to do it. They're not average. They hate average. They don't want that disease. The only inoculation to average is to take risk. The moment you stop taking risks in life is the moment you catch that disease called average. Boom, right that moment. And once you let it sit there and marinate and just take hold, then it gets harder and harder to get rid of the disease called average. Because now everybody that's around you has moved forward. And as they're moving forward, they've had their inoculations, they're still taking risks. As they're moving forward, you're looking at them from behind, and you've got a couple of choices to make. You say, either I can run and catch up, or either I can stay where I am. And I can tell you right now, staying where you are only creates a level of bitterness that leads to depression. And while you're being bitter and while you're depressed, the longer you sit in that and stay in it, the longer and the worse it gets. It doesn't stop. It doesn't get better. Nobody's coming to throw you a magic lasso like Wonder Woman and pull you in. Nobody's coming to save you. You're going to have to participate in your own rescue. You're going to have to get up out of that mud. You're going to have to get up out of that situation and understand nobody's coming to get me. I'm average. They don't even see me anymore. They look back and they say, oh, you know what, such and such, it was back there, but I don't see them anymore. That's because they're moving so fast. It's like the $6 million man. I'm telling my age now because, you know, the $6 million man, you know, he always like he was running super fast, but it was super slow, and they told you they did that Jedi mind trick on you. He's running so fast that if we didn't slow him down, you wouldn't see him. And they called him the $6 million man, Steve Austin. Some of y'all was ringing a bell. Y'all old just like me. So the $6 million man, that's how it feels. You know, you're running fast, you know, and they can't see you. So you're slowing down. You're like, I don't see them anymore. All of my friends are gone. They're doing other things. And woe is me. I'm back here. And you know, I just can't catch a break. And, man, I don't know. You know, what's going on, man? Everybody's against me. Everything's against me. You know, such and such has left me. They're not keeping it real. They ain't 100. I thought you were down for me. I thought you were my boy. I thought you were my girl, man. You left me. No, I didn't leave you. You stopped moving. I can't carry you around. I can't carry average around. I take an inoculation for that every day. And I don't wait for anybody to come give it to me. I give it to myself every single day. And there's some of us that are sitting there wondering, how am I going to get out of the situation that I'm in? Instead of wondering how you're going to get out of the situation that you're in, first of all, figure out how you got in the situation that you're in. Fix that. Because when you fix that, then that means now you won't get in that situation again. Because now you're learning the lesson. You either learn the lesson, guys, by actually going through it, or you learn the lesson by heading it off before it happens. And unfortunately, hindsight is always 20/20. So when it happens to you, now you know it's there. Now you got to fix it, but you can't move forward until you fix it. Because if you don't fix the flat tire, if you just plug it, now you're riding around on it like, wow, you know, this thing could pop at any point in time because I just plugged it, you know. Or you get fancy and you go get that can of fix a flat, and you blow your tire up and you say, that's good as new. And you saved a couple of dollars for about 2 months. But what happens now, that can of fix-a-flat just makes the tire hard and it wears out quicker. And next thing you know, you have a blowout. Now you got, not only do you have a bad tire, now you've had an accident and the problem just compounds itself. When all you had to do was go back and fix the problem. And a lot of people say, I just didn't have the money to fix the tire at the time. Guys, let me tell you something. One of the things that I realized in life is that, you know, we typically have more money than we realize that we have. We're just mismanaging what we have. And I always talk about doing something called trim the fat. And in a lot of cases, we don't even go out and find out what the problem is because we're afraid to hear what it's going to take to fix it. Pam and I had this our first car was a Mazda 626, and we thought that car was the bomb, right? and that car, it was old, but it wasn't old. Back then it wasn't that old, but it started to have problems. And I can remember like it was yesterday. Let me see how much time I got. I can remember, all right, cool. I can remember like it was yesterday that, you know, the car started leaking oil. And now, when a car starts leaking oil, because I didn't know, my dad, he was a mechanic. You know, he could fix cars, pull engines out, the whole nine. So I automatically went to my mind and said, you know, it's bad. It's bad. Man, the engine block is leaking, you know, and this is probably happening, that's happening. And I didn't want to take it to the shop. I knew it was leaking. I didn't want to hear what it was going to cost to fix it. So what did I do? Instead of fixing a problem, I told Pam, I said, you know what? we ain't got the money for this. We I don't even know what it's going to cost, but I automatically assumed I didn't have the money for it. So I went down, and I just kept buying oil. When the oil leaked out and the light came on, it was a habit that I created. I would need more oil, baby. Boom, put more oil in it. We're good. Let's go. So we're pulling up at people's houses, leaking oil on people's driveways and everything. They're like, who leaked the oil? We're looking like, I don't know. Wasn't my car. Knowing full well that our engine, we're leaking oil. So I went like that for like 3 months. I can't blame Pam. She didn't know anything about cars. She was like, okay, you know, you the man. You telling me they just need to keep adding oil and it's going to cost a lot of money? Then okay. So I'm putting oil in the car. I spent hundreds of dollars on oil for 3 months. Finally, I got tired of buying oil. I got tired of revisiting the same problem every single day. Every two days at least, I was having to put more oil in the car. And it progressively got worse until it got to that point to where the nail was so that would hurt so bad that I had to get off of it, and I had to figure out, okay, let me go find out what's wrong. Took the car down. Still didn't want to take it to a mechanic. Took it down to the car place where you auto parts place where you get the discount auto parts, AutoZone. It was AutoZone. Took it down there and told the guy, hey man, you know my car is leaking oil, you know. Can you take a look at it? Because, you know, back then, you know, they may do it now, too. They look at the general stuff on your car. So my mind said, I want it to be general, so I want to see if this guy can find a general problem first before I take it down there to the shop. And they tell me that it's going to be $40 an hour for labor, and it's going to cost you for the parts and everything else. So this guy looks at it, and he goes, oh, yeah, no problem. I see it right here. You know, he said, it's your oil pressure sending unit. Now, I immediately, that's a four-syllable part. Oil pressure sending unit. I'm like, whoa, that's got to be expensive. He said, yeah. He said, let me go grab one, and I'll put it in for you. I said, whoa. Are you gonna put that in for me now? I mean, what are you gonna charge me? I mean, how much is this gonna cost me? You know, what's going on? I mean, you can't just tell me you're gonna put this in, and I don't know. I mean, I ain't got no money. I mean, what's the deal? I'm on a budget. He goes, you know, the part is $3, and you need the Teflon tape to go around it, and that costs like 95 cents. So for under $5. I could have fixed my problem, but I didn't know what the problem was, and I didn't care to know. So it just perpetuated itself. Hundreds of dollars later, so I probably, for a $3, a $4 worth of parts, I probably spent $500 or $600 on just one problem when I didn't have to, all because I didn't want to know. He put it in. It took him every bit of 2 minutes. Screw it out, put the tape on the new part, screw it back in, you're good to go. I felt so stupid. I didn't even want to tell Pam what the problem was. She was like, what the problem was? You know, I got it taken care of. No problem. I'm the man. I got it taken care of. It's killing me on the inside. I finally had to tell her, man, you know what? I feel so stupid. It was the oil pressure sending you. And she said, oh, my God, how much did that cost? $5. Under $5. She said, what? You buying oil all this time? Under $5 because we didn't want to know? Yeah. We learned a lesson that day that you need to know what the problem is in order to fix it. It's not that you're in something and you say, well, how do I get out? Figure out what you did to get there, and that's going to help get you out. So now you're moving with everything else, and now you say, you know what? I can't go back to where I was. I can't get back in the average box of yesterday. I got to move forward. So I'm going to stay in the vein. I'm going to keep moving forward because God knows, you guys know, you know, when you stop, nobody's waiting on you. When you stop, you pause. Every time you do that, it's harder and harder and harder to get started again. So why stop? It's like when you go on a new diet. Or you start, you know, eating right, and you all of a sudden, you know, you start losing the weight, and they tell you don't stop, because when you stop, now your body's gonna be like, okay, now they're giving me the right stuff again, the stuff that I like, the stuff that puts me in my comfort zone, it tastes good. Now it says, you know what? Let me grab all of this fast as I can because I don't know when they're gonna stop giving it to me again, and you put on double the weight that you were last time because you didn't create a habit. You didn't do it for 21 days. You didn't create a habit. You didn't feed that habit with, you know, 9 additional days to make it a lifestyle. So this is what happens in life. People get average and people get comfortable with themselves, and they decide, you know what, I don't want to move any further. I'm good where I am, and then they get bitter with the world, and now you're depressed. So for those of you on the line, you can identify with what I'm saying. You know, I'm going to help you bridge that gap this morning. And I'm going to tell you, it's your time. It's your turn to get up out of bed, to get up out of what you're in right now, and to stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop blaming everybody else for your problem because you're not having any success at what you do, because you can't maintain something that you're trying to do. It's no one else's fault. Nothing's going to change for you until you start taking responsibility for your own shortcoming or shortcomings. Nothing's going to change. So it's time for you to get your inoculation on average. It's time for you to start being great. It's time for you to stop being above average. Stop being average and be above average, because nobody's going to get you there but you. If it's meant to be, it's up to me. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for for chiming into the grind this morning. You know, hope there's some bridge, some gaps were bridged this morning, and somebody got something out of what was said. You know, it's the epitome of what we do here. Guys, we want to be practical. We want to be unscripted. We want to be, you know, say this stuff that's going to actually move people to the next level, and you can actually feel good about where you are and who you are and how you're moving forward. Guys, always remember that there's absolutely nothing worth seeing behind you. Keep moving forward, guys, and you're going to find out that you can always move into the realm of being above average. And remember, I can. Yes, you can, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great day.
can, I know I will triumph over.